So when Kevin asked me to give my testimony, he told me that I had a maximum of 10 minutes. So I'll try and keep this as brief as possible. Just, a bit of history on myself, my upbringing, and how I got to where I am today, I guess. Up until about the age of 9, I didn't have any exposure at all to Christianity, to the Bible, to God, to church. Neither of my parents went to church. My grandparents I believe they're believers, I believe they're saved, but their son, my father, decided to throw it all away, basically, so us children didn't have any of that sort of benefit of going to church. But then my parents got divorced when I was 5 years old, and my mother remarried when I was about 9, and my stepfather, who we were then living with, was in the Air Force, and he was an Anglican. So we started going to an Anglican church, and that was the first time that I was exposed to any form of Christianity at all. And I think at the time I learnt that, yeah, Jesus died for my sins, but I don't believe that I was yet saved at that point. So I had this knowledge of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for my sins without being saved. And that was up until about the age of 16. We shifted to Malaysia for 2 years, and then in Malaysia, up until the age of 16, came back from Malaysia. Then at 16, my father then became a born-again Pentecostal. And so he introduced me to what he believed, and he basically raced me up to the Gold Coast to get baptized, because he believed I had to be baptized, and full immersion and all the rest of it. But the gospel still hadn't been clearly presented to me at this point. I was reading a New King James Bible at the time, and I don't believe I was still saved at this point. I really don't, when I reflect back on this. And then at the age of 21, shifted down to Melbourne. That's where I met Cindy. We got married down there. I became part of the church that Cindy was in. And this was called the International Church of Christ. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this particular movement. Maybe not. But it was led by a fellow by the name of Kip McKean. And it started in Boston in the 70s and spread around the globe, basically. It was a breakaway from the mainstream churches of Christ. They taught that baptism was necessary for salvation, amongst other things. But one of the other things that this church did, and I'm just going to share this, is that they linked salvation with being a disciple. You had to be a disciple in order to be really saved. So how these guys would go about this sort of thing, they use the New International Version, and in Acts 11:26, they would use this verse. Acts 11:26 reads, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." So they'd say, oh, if you're really a Christian, then you're a disciple. And then they'd link that back to the New Testament, in the Gospels, where Jesus, in Matthew 16:24, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And it became this, you know, this thing where you had to give up your life basically on a daily basis, otherwise you weren't really saved. And not only that, if you didn't continue in this, then you could lose your salvation. Not that I was saved anyway, because the whole time I've been trusting in works. Even from a young age, I thought I had to be a good person to get into heaven. So it was believe in Jesus and be a good person. Then I encounter this group that teaches me that I have to do the works of a disciple, being sacrificial on a daily basis to remain saved, even though I was never saved. But that's part of the deception. Sadly. And in Luke 14:26, just to reiterate this, And I was deeply entrenched in this, by the way, deeply entrenched in this. The church, the International Church of Christ itself is, because of the teachings being so full on, it was cultish, it was very much a cult, where it was almost impossible to get out once you were in, because they'd hang this over your head that if you leave the church, you'll lose your salvation, tying everything in with salvation as a control mechanism. So Luke 14, 26, it's along similar lines. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is what they taught. So they linked this with salvation. So instead of salvation being simple and a free gift, just everlasting life by just simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, no. That's just a part of it with what they taught. And I believed this. I got deceived by this for a number of years. I was there. I think I was there until about 28, 29 years of age. Like I said, Cindy and I were married. We had our first child before we shifted to two children before we moved away. Thank you, Cindy. Before we moved away from Melbourne. So this all took place down in Melbourne. And after being away for that, would have been 29 up until I was about 36 years of age, when I encountered a clear presentation of the gospel. At the time, during those 7 years, I was really confused. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to hell because I'm not living right. I'm not being obedient to these commandments. I'm not doing what I should be doing based on what I'd learned from this church. But then I encountered the gospel online through Stephen Anderson. I watched After the Tribulation. And then a couple of months after that, I started watching some of his other sermons. And what confused me a little bit at first was I'd see him preaching really hard on sin, but then at the same time teaching that salvation is by grace through faith. It's just a free gift. It's not about turning from sin. And I'm like, wait a sec. And it just took a while for me to just work that out after listening to a couple of his sermons, and it started to click that the two were separate. That being a disciple or following Jesus, living the life, being obedient to the commandments has got nothing to do with salvation. There's this distinction, this really clear line between the two, that salvation is this free gift, and what I do after that is just purely service to the Lord. There's rewards for doing those things in heaven, and yeah, there's this clear line between the two. And at that instant, when I understood that it was eternal life and that it was a free gift and all I had to do was just believe on the Lord to receive it, I was just saved in an instant, just like that. I was just like, thank you, Lord. Amen. And breaking free from that was just such a relief for me. It was like just this massive weight lifted off my shoulders. Cindy was saved pretty much at the same time I was. So we both came to this understanding at the same time through these teachings, through Stephen Anderson. And I just want to share, I guess, a little bit about what this has done for me now that I've reflected back on these false teachers and the things that I was taught falsely. Because now, having been deceived for so long, and it's really crafty how they go about it, I've got a special kind of hatred for these false teachers that teach a false gospel, because they're sending multitudes to hell through their deception. And whenever I encounter someone that is preaching a false gospel, I get quite fiery. I really do fire up inside. I do become a little bit confrontational. Now, I'll say this. The Bible does say in Jude chapter 3, Jude verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And I'll contend for that faith. And sometimes that means I wind up getting into some confrontations with people, but so be it. I think I've been preached against by about 3 different pastors in the local area because of various confrontations, because they have got a false gospel. And I'm glad, Kevin, in your opening message to us in the first service of the church, you talked about warning against grievous wolves coming in and not sparing the flock, because I think that's what has happened to a number of churches in this local area. These guys have just come in, they're now leading these churches with a false gospel. You know, this repent of your sins, if you're not living right, then you're not really saved type of rubbish. It's deceiving people. And I feel strongly about it, really strongly, because I myself was deceived for so many years. And I'm sure I'd rather be the kind of guy that was just brought up with the right gospel, like you, Kevin, and just saved early on. I guess that's just not the path God had for me. And so this is where I'm at, and that's my testimony. And thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Amen.